Right now, though, we're going to talk with financial planner Brad Graber about estate planning and leaving an inheritance for our kids. Hey, Brad, good morning.
Good morning, Kelly.
You know, I was reading on your blog yesterday at investingintruth.com, and your first couple of lines on this particular article that you've written, Estate Planning, Leaving an Inheritance for Your Children, made me just stop and think, because I've heard this so many times before, but maybe it's because we've been talking to you for a while that it really sank in. You said, regardless of whether you have abundant wealth or just scrape to get by, one thing is certain, you won't be taking anything with you when you leave this world. And I just stopped and I thought, I'm thankful for Brad's advice, because what I do have, I need to start making the most of and think about leaving something for my son. I know a lot of parents think that way.
Yeah, and everybody has an estate and everybody has an inheritance that they're going to leave behind. So whether it's financial, whether it's wisdom and the training that we leave with our kids, we all have something that we're leaving behind.
Well, you talk about a foundation. Setting up a foundation is one way to make sure that we leave an inheritance for our kids. How does that work?
Well, and by foundation, we're not talking like an entity type of foundation. We're talking about a biblical foundation here. And I went through in this article five basic points that I feel are important from a biblical principle standpoint. And if you don't mind, I'll just jump through those real quick.
Absolutely.
The first one is that God is the owner of everything. So we have to remember that everything that has been entrusted to us is ultimately God's, and we're just stewards managing his resources for his glory. Number two, everything was given to us by God. So sometimes when it comes to estate planning, people like to think, I worked hard for this, this is mine, and I'm going to do with it what I feel. Well, number one, God owns it all, but God also gave us the ability to get wealth. So whether it's in the skills that he's given to us, whether it's the circumstances of our life that he orchestrated, ultimately it was all because of God that we even have the resources that we have. Number three, an inheritance isn't always a blessing. We like to think that leaving money to people is always a blessing, but it's not. Proverbs 20:21 tells us that an inheritance obtained too early in life is not a blessing in the end. And we can probably all instantly think of somebody where when money was received by them, too much money was received by them, that it took them down a wrong path in life and they made some poor choices with it. So it's not always a blessing to heap wealth upon people. Number four, the Bible does not instruct us to leave all of our wealth to our children. So we like to think back to a specific verse, and Proverbs 13:22 is one that comes to mind to a lot of people. It says, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. But we have to remember, too, we're talking about the Old Testament lifestyle at that time, which was very agricultural-based. And an inheritance meant leaving land to the next generation so that they could work it and provide for their families. So the modern-day inheritance is much different in many cases than what that was back then. Typically today, we're just leaving some type of financial wealth. We're not actually leaving them with the ability to work and make money. So if we think about it from the same context, we're going to think through what an inheritance really should look like a little bit differently. And then the last principle is that people are more important than money. So again, we probably all have stories that we've heard or seen personally where an inheritance has destroyed a family and destroyed relationships. So we always have to remember that people come before money.
Oh man, what you just said, I've seen that. And that can be an ugly thing. You start getting into relationships being affected adversely, and it's not good. We need to have a plan in place. So talk about stewardship too, Brad. As stewards of God's resources, you say we realize we can't take anything with us, and our opportunity to send wealth ahead into eternity stops the moment we die. And in the end, we have two choices.
Yeah, I like to call estate planning our last act of stewardship here on this earth. And we really do have two choices. We're managing God's money as stewards for him. And our two choices are, we can either pass it on to somebody else to continue to manage it for his glory, or we can ultimately place it into the work of the kingdom through funding various ministries that are ultimately going to take that money and use it to share the gospel with the rest of the world. So those are the two basic choices that we have, and we just have to start to evaluate what is the best way to bring the most glory to God with the situation that we have. And part of that is going to be evaluating who would make that good manager to replace me. So, again, it was entrusted to me to manage. So is it really wise stewardship if I put it in the hands of somebody that doesn't know the person that they're managing the resources for or doesn't care to glorify that person, if we did that in a job and handed off our boss's resources or our task that we're charged to take care of, and we handed them to somebody else that wouldn't do a good job, that would not be considered us doing our work very well. So the same thing holds true when it comes to God's resources. Are we evaluating what that plan, are we actually making a plan, but are we evaluating that plan then on who is going to pick up that job and do it well in our absence?
You know, another point that you make, and I would think that, oh man, families have got to struggle with this when they're looking at leaving behind an inheritance. If we don't have that solid biblical foundation in place to begin with, we will maybe not look at things in the way that you're talking about. We'll seek to make everything equal, but you go on to say, as you're talking about the people that we're leaving inheritances to, that all things equal are not necessarily equal.
Yeah, I always like to say equal is not the same. And our default, as we think about our children, is always leaving, you know, splitting it up. If we got three kids, we split it up a third, and a third, and we're satisfied with that. But while that one third could be very productive in the hands of one of our children that's a good steward, if we have another child that's living a sinful lifestyle, it can be like pouring gas onto the fire. And we're just going to be throwing money into a situation where maybe they can't handle what they're already dealing with, and by adding the funds to it may actually lead them down a destructive lifestyle. So it's not a comfortable discussion to have, and we also have to look at that idea of, you know, is our child a believer or not a believer? Again, a very tough conversation to have with people, or, you know, even if you're thinking through it personally, to even think those thoughts about your children. But again, we're trying to find people that will steward God's resources well. And stewardship is managing, and we have to know the person that we're managing the resources for. So if we're looking at handing that money off to someone who doesn't even know God, how well are they going to do managing God's resources?
Mm-hmm. Kind of a sidebar question, Brad. Your opinion here, let's take a set of parents, and they're working out their will, and they've got four or five kids, however many, doesn't really matter the number, but there's more than one child in the family. Should they have that discussion about what they're leaving with their kids before they enter eternity, or would you think it would be best to go ahead and write out the will with the inheritance and the explanation in the will? Because I'm thinking, you know, with some cases, you may have a lot of fighting resulting before the parents are even gone into eternity to join the Lord, and that can be just as ugly as leaving too much behind for a kid that can't manage it.
That's right, and it's a really good question you're asking there, and I like transparency to a degree, and I think it's important to not keep your kids totally in the dark if it's an okay situation to at least share some of the details. One of the ideas that comes to mind is our two choices. Remember, we can leave to our kids or we can leave basically to the ministries. If you're going to be leaving money to ministry in your estate plan, I highly encourage you to share that with your children while you're alive, because we don't want that to be a surprise where they think that everything is going to be split up amongst them, and then suddenly a piece of it is going to a ministry. We want it to be a teaching moment, number one, but we also don't want it to be a negative moment when they ultimately would find out after we're gone. So I think it's important to share that. I think it's okay to some degree have that conversation, though, with our children, and at least let them know a broad idea, so it's not just a complete shocker when it happens. But again, it's so much of estate planning is managing relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to know your kids, you got to know what you can share, what you shouldn't share. And if one child is going to be left in charge of your estate, which is typically the situation, then maybe you share a little bit more with them just to prepare them and have some conversations in preparation while you're still around to at least have, you know, be a reinforcement and an educator for your children on what you're really trying to accomplish.
Hey, something else you mentioned, too, which intrigues me also, because I've been seeing a few instances of this in the news here and there. You say we shouldn't steal the need to work from the next generation, because even wealthy non-Christians understand that concept, and that's why many mega-wealthy people are choosing to not leave their large estates to their kids. And I've seen this in the news, and I've thought, well, you've got all that and you can't take it with you. Why didn't you leave it to your kids? Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, you look at these billionaire families, and while they have huge amounts of wealth, they're starting to understand the huge problems that would come from leaving all that money to their kids. And they're actually, here's common grace, and you know, people that may not even know Scripture are actually using biblical principles and understanding the value of those biblical principles, even if maybe they don't know the Scripture that goes with it. And just like we talked about that foundation at the beginning of biblical principles that we're trying to exercise, work is that one thing that we have to remember. God gave us work as the way that we provide for our families. And if work and money get disjointed and the two are no longer associated with each other, there's a lot of destructive patterns and habits that can come from that. So if we, that's why that the proverb that I read earlier, that an inheritance received too early in life can turn out to be a curse. Think about the kid that doesn't even have an occupation yet. So maybe they're in high school or in college at the time, and they find out that they're going to get this huge amount of wealth at some point in their life, or maybe they even receive it at that time. That can completely change what they do as a career. They may drop out of college and never even pursue a career knowing that they're going to have wealth to take care of them in the future. And for husbands and wives, husbands need to be responsible for providing for their families. And if you dump huge amounts of wealth on the family, then he no longer has that responsibility. It's being taken care of by this inheritance. And you're really stealing the character building and the God glorification that comes out of work and providing for your family through work by heaping an inheritance onto somebody.
There is so much to this article that you've written, Brad, than what we have more time than what we do have time to share of on the radio. And I wish we had more time to be able to do that. But before we let you get off the phone, talk a little bit about the most important inheritance of all, the eternal inheritance.
That's exactly right. And the biggest thing we need to make sure we're leaving for our kids, we're charged with raising our kids in fear and admonition of the Lord. So we need to make sure that we're concentrating on that eternal inheritance more than our earthly financial inheritance. And we're told, Romans 8, 16 and 17 says it really well, that we're heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. And what better inheritance can be waiting for us? And I like the Charles Spurgeon quote that I closed out the article with. He says, "Heaven is the undefiled inheritance." So while we see inheritances on earth possibly destroy lives with the people, the way people use that money, or it can destroy relationships between siblings, all those things, it shows how defiled the inheritance, the financial inheritance on earth is. But when we look at the eternal inheritance, it is undefiled. It's perfect, it's pure, and ultimately we're with God and enjoying it there.
This is really a great article, Brad. I love because it helps me to put everything, for me anyway, in my situation, just in the proper perspective and really think about what I'm doing and really give a lot of prayer, actually, before I finalize a will and leave anything to my son. So I want to let our listening family know, if you'd like to learn more about what we've been talking about this morning, you can read Brad's article at his website, and that is investingintruth.com. And look for the boot camp section. And that's, I want you to talk about that for just a second, too, before I let you off the phone, Brad, because people can go through that month by month, and it lays such a great foundation for how we're handling our finances.
Sure. Financial Boot Camp, it's a course that I teach over 12 months, and we're just trying to build that foundation in the early months. So if you look at the topics, we're really hitting on those basic financial principles that the Bible teaches in the early months. And then, like this article today is from Lesson 7, so that's 7 months in, and it's really at the point where we're starting to tie in all these other principles and apply them to these other issues in life that a lot of us need to be thinking of or dealing with. So in order to talk about estate planning, we really need to know a lot of what Scripture says about money and what are these biblical principles that tie into it before we can even start diving into that discussion.